Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Ben and Woods, final hour on a Wednesday. Jim Rome Show coming up at 9 o'clock today. Coach John Quintero will be in this afternoon. Gwynn and Chris are the whole team today. I never can tell with those guys.
I don't know.
Well, that's a shot.
I think Chris is here.
Okay.
So, because the SDSU women's team should be at home since the Aztecs men were on the road last night. That's how it works. As you get Fresno State coming here, it's kind of the opposite each way. When all the baseball cheating scandal came out, my first reaction was, this is disappointing, but let's not be too shocked about it. You know what? This is a...
When are you talking? Are you talking the John Boy...
Yeah, when the John Boy videos came out.
The banging of the trash
and just,
cans.
You know, as the investigation has gone on, the punishments were handed out earlier this week. It was simply, I looked at it with a very dispassionate eye.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, it's a big money business. Guys have a lot to gain or lose. People will take chances on skirting the rules, on trying to, you know, take a cut corners here or there to be successful. There's just too much on the line. Let's not be overly surprised or shocked that something like this would go on. As the week has progressed, though, I started to get the sense that maybe I was treating this all a little bit too lightly. Yes, it is sports. It's entertainment. It is not life or death. We're not talking about, you know, a war in the Middle East. We're talking about a baseball game.
Yep.
That adults are very lucky to get paid a lot to play. And why are we making such a big deal about it? But then I stopped and I thought, well, guess what? I spend a lot of time. My life, really. My time away from my family covering baseball, essentially. I mean, other sports as well, but I spend a ton of time covering the Padres. And I do that, Woods, with the expectation that what they're doing means something, that they're playing for something, that people out there, fans, spend, you know, their hard-earned money on this game to entertain themselves, yes, but with the expectation that what they are watching is on the up and up, and that people are conducting themselves at least according to the rules that are being laid out, that the playing field is at least somewhat fair for the teams, and we at least understand what those rules are. Because once you lose that integrity, what's the point of dedicating all this time that we do to talking about it? We can break down rosters and players and how good Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be. If he's not allowed to compete in a fair game, if he goes up his entire career and, hey, every other team going up against him is cheating, that, you know, every time that he doesn't have an advantage that everyone else does, what does all this matter? Why are we even doing this? Why are we spending our time talking about it on the radio? Why are we spending our time going down to the games? Integrity of the sport is absolutely paramount to the functioning continuation of Major League Baseball. And I realized I'm taking this too lightly. I should be more outraged than I have been.
You know, and it's funny because it's so much more to me than a game. And I think a lot of people listening have the same connections, you know, whether it's with your dad or whether you didn't have a dad and your mom helped you learn how to be a baseball player, whether it's, you know, the guys that still play, guys that are that just love the game. I love that game more than almost anything in the entire world. You know, I love my family first, and I love baseball second. And to me, man, like, if guys took greenies, it never bothered. Like, things like that. If you're going to harm yourself, if you're willing to harm yourself, that is different to me than harming the game. It just is. And I've always kind of felt that way, man. And I just, I'm all for a competitive edge. I'm all for the ability to get on second base and slyly, you know, give a location, you know. But I'm also aware if I slyly give a location and it's not so sly that I'm going to wear one the next AB. Those are the things that are okay with me. I'm fine with them. I can reconcile that, you know, hey, this guy took Adderall or whatever. Like, that just doesn't bother. It doesn't bother me at all. At all, really. But when you are going that extra mile to incorporate technology and you've been caught, but you continue to do it because you think you're smarter than everyone, you're smug about it, you call it a joke, that's when you're essentially calling the integrity of the game a joke.
It's a joke.
Because people kept telling you, we know what you're doing. It was not a secret. And then you get popped, and it's, well, what about the steroid guys? What about Pete Rose? What about, you know, domestic abuse? And it's like, all right, those are all issues in and of themselves, but this is different. This is talking about the integrity of the game.
And I've seen some people argue that the punishments have been very light, considering the integrity of the game is at the heart of the matter. That Pete Rose is serving a lifetime ban for an infraction that goes to the integrity of the game, and that is gambling on baseball.
So I heard this yesterday, and I had forgotten about this. Who was the guy that did the report a couple of years ago about Pete Rose? TJ Quinn, I believe.
Oh, the ESPN report.
Yeah, so, okay, he may have bet on his team to win, but do you know that he, like, burned his pitching staff in order to win that game because he had bet on it, and he didn't do that when he didn't bet? That is changing the outcome of the game. I don't think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame anymore. I really don't. And I think when you change outcomes, futures, careers, things like that, I don't know. Like, it just, for some reason, that gets to me more than a guy that took Adderall.
I do believe, though, that one of the reasons why Pete Rose is still banned from the game of baseball.
Lack of contrition?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Because look at A-Rod.
Lying about it for years. Never really showing any genuine remorse or acknowledging that what he did, you know, could have severely damaged the game for everybody. You can forget. Everyone can be forgiven, and I think Pete Rose could be forgiven and even go into the Hall of Fame if he really could show you that he was genuinely sorry for what he did and finally understood what that was. I think he might be welcomed back finally with open arms if that ever happened. He's never really shown that. Even when he had finally admitted he bet on baseball, it wasn't a big "I'm so sorry" moment. It was another promoting Pete Rose moment. It was another way that he could sell a book or sell an autograph somewhere. It's always been a hustle with Pete Rose,
yeah.
And it's never been the respect for the game and what it did for him. It's always, what can the game do for Pete Rose?
Well, and the fans are the ones that suffer the most, right? Whether you're an Astros fan this morning, and look, I know you're smiling through clenched teeth. If you're a Red Sox fan this morning, you're saying, hey, man, we got that World Series with Alex Cora, and you're smiling through clenched teeth, and I get it. I've been there. I've absolutely been there. And it's not a fun thing to when people call into question, you know, your team's integrity. I've definitely been a fan of a team where that's happened, and it sucks. It's not fun. But I do feel bad for the fans. I do feel bad. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it yesterday. You know who's really got it rough? The upstart young new GM for the Boston Red Sox. What's his name? Chaim Bloom. So this kid is like this up-and-comer in baseball. He's in Tampa, right? And they made the point on Boston Sports Radio, like, hey, you're in Tampa? Hey, this guy's getting good? Cool, trade him and replace. Like, there was no pressure to win. We didn't have a big payroll. You just go out and do your thing. He gets hired by the Red Sox. And what happens? Hey, by the way, we want to get under the luxury tax. You're probably going to have to trade Mookie Betts. Oh, by the way, here's your manager embroiled in this giant scandal. He's gone. You got to find a new manager as well. Like, this guy said, can I go back? Can I leave? Can I go back to Tampa Bay and work in the trop and sell off our good players and don't have this pressure upon me? Like, his the order for that kid is monumental this year. Imagine that. Like, you think you're going to this great situation, and then they're like, oh, also, can you dump $90 million of David Price's salary as well and trade the face of the franchise, find a new manager that's going to be really good?
I know people are saying Red Sox are going to use this whole Cora,
yes,
you know,
restart,
mutual parting of the ways as an excuse.
To break it down and not spend money.
And guess, say, well, we had to. It's,
yes,
you know,
guess who
we're forced into this.
Guess who has to be the architect of that? This kid. He's a kid. He's like 30-something years old.
Yeah.
And like, my, as much as I hate the Boston Red Sox, I'm sympathetic to that. And you know what, man? I'm sympathetic to their fans. I really am, because like 80% of my friends that live in this town are friggin' Red Sox fans, and I love those guys. And it does make me sad because my great game has been called into question.
So that's,
and I hate it.
That's my mini rant that maybe should have been a little bit stronger, but I'm not a professional ranter and raver. Some people are.
Yes.
Some people have taken it to an art form. Stephen A. Smith is one that has taken it to an art form. Another is Chris Mad Dog Russo, who we had a chance to sit down with at baseball's winter meetings when it came to San Diego last month. So fun to get to know a radio legend. He had a legendary rant on the Astros and the cheating scandal. Paul has tracked it down for us. We'll present someone who really knows how to rant here on Ben and Woods.
So all these great Astro players who won a championship and two pennants, that's all now in question. So they're dead. All of them are dead. I don't want to hear a word out of them. And where's Verlander? Where is he? I mean, Verlander's got a lot to say about everything. He had no idea what was going on. They won a World Series. He pitched Game 6 against the Yankees. He pitched Game 2 against the Yankees. Where is Verlander? He can't shut him up. Where is his comments now? Where is him? Let me hear him. Where are they? Now the Astro players, Gurriel, El Tuve, Bregman, Correa, all these guys got a lot to say. Verlander got thousands of things to say. Verlander's kicking guys out of the media room because there's like the fact they said something bad about him in the Detroit Free Press. Right, Bregman, you can't get a microphone away from him. I mean, all of them, they got a cocky attitude, they're arrogant, everything else. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now. They got the GM fired, they got the manager fired, they got the owner fined $5 million, and they lost four draft picks, first and second, in the next 2 years, in the next foreseeable future. And the championship is tainted. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now, when spring training rolls around, when they go to Yankee Stadium in September. Let me hear what they have to say now. Bregman, who cheated. Altuve, cheated. Gurriel, and I don't want to hear anybody say, well, Altuve doesn't want to know what the strike zone is anyway with the pitchers. I heard that excuse this week. Well, you know, he doesn't like to know what the pitchers are. Nonsense!
That was from the MLB Network with Chris Mad Dog Russo. Did you write that for him?
I mean, I created...
He's a copywriter?
I created the term Lord Baseball last year. We made the point that they have so much to say on every freaking thing. And now to know that, you know, Lord Baseball and all his cronies and Bregman, and again, those guys are good players. They're really good players. They're some of the best players in the universe. Quiet. Quiet as a mouse. No problem piping off on Twitter to Trevor Bauer or anybody else that would listen.
What would happen if Justin Verlander came out today and said, yeah, what our organization did, I wasn't a part of it, I was a pitcher. Outrageous, you know? I mean, we should be punished this way. I mean, he should say something like that, right?
Here's the other thing that's weird. Like, you haven't even seen anybody say, I'm just so bummed about this. My man A.J. Hinch is gone, and, you know, my heart's broken for it. I hate this. What? Nothing. Deafening silence. Deafening silence by that team. By both teams, really.
You think that's coming down from Jim Crane, Major League Baseball?
I don't know.
They're being directed to stay quiet?
I really don't know.
Marcus Stroman and Trevor Bauer,
yeah,
like,
they're
happy to chime in.
Now, Paulie, all the guys that were called into question by guys like Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch, and I'm talking Trevor Bauer, I'm talking Mike Minor, you know, those guys are like, oh, this is what I was getting grief from these guys about the way I play the game, and look at the way that they were playing the game. It's the attitude. It's the smugness. That's the thing that I think that bugged me the most. Is the smugness about all of it. And the fact that, you know, it's a joke. I was hoping you'd ask me that question. Were you? I mean,
it's a joke.
Everybody knew. Everybody knew. And when you were called to the carpet about it, you were smug and you lied. And you lied repeatedly. And I get it. You were in it. You were in it too deep. Wasn't me.
Hammer, did our biggest fan call in? Okay, so I will, when we come back, We may have another chance to enter someone to win that trip to Las Vegas. I will let you know when we return. I also want to open our phone lines, 833-288-0973. Are you questioning the integrity of baseball now? Do you have any like doubts?
I'm such a friggin'
going into 2020 here after what you've seen and heard this offseason.
I'm such a friggin' homer, man. It's like they can't, there's not going to be much that they can do to lose me. It's like they got me. I'm there for life, man. Right. I'm a lifer.
All right, we'll get to that coming up. It's Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic at 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. It certainly looks like some of our listeners are concerned about the integrity of baseball going forward here.
It's not that I'm not. It's just that it's not going to lose me. It's not going to lose me. I love the game too much.
833-288-0973 if you want to join us. Taking some phone calls here with Ben and Woods in the wake of the Astros cheating scandal. I know Mike in Temecula tried to get in yesterday, so I want to give him a chance to get in today. Mike, it is good to hear from you as always here on Ben and Woods. Good morning.
Hey guys, hey, I believe in Woodsy. I'm never gonna leave baseball, but it's to the point where my son is 13-year-old, plays travel ball, and his two favorite numbers, Teague-Win, of course.
Yep.
He understands that, but he also alternates to 27, which is Otovic, because he plays second base. And he literally came to me last night and was asking questions, and he says, "I don't want to wear the number anymore."
Oof,
and I'm God like, dang. "What?" He says, "I don't want to wear that number." Because I don't, you know, he's just like, "That's cheating, Dad." And I'm like, you know, I just like, just listening to him. And for him to say something like that,
it was
pretty mind-boggling. And so he's like, "I'm going back to 19, Dad." And I said, "Well, you know, hey, good number. So I literally got to tell the coach that we're going to have to get another jersey. And I'm fine with that. But that's the effect." And he's wondering, he's like, "Well, are those guys going to get kicked out?" And I said, "No," I go, "but they're going to be the white elephant in the room. Whenever someone sees those guys, they're like, oh, yeah, those are the guys that were cheating."
Yeah, they'll never escape it.
Yeah, they got to live with that. And I think that's their punishment, is they're always going to have to live with that stigma. They're branded, you know, cheaters.
Yeah, that World Series. And it's funny, I was tweeting with a Red Sox fan buddy of mine this morning, and I just said, I honestly think what Cora did with the Astros is worse than what he did in Boston. I think that's what he's getting punished for, being the kind of the mastermind, the ringleader. I don't even know that Boston's World Series was tainted in 2018. But when you had, you know, a tainter running your team, then of course that's what they're going to look at.
I think it's interesting that I have teenagers, like Mike has a 13-year-old, and I've noticed they do care about right and wrong. I mean, not that we didn't growing up, but I don't remember spending a ton of time thinking about these big type issues.
Ben, you
my
know
kids
why?
Do, and it's important.
You
to
know
them.
Why we didn't? Because we didn't know. We didn't know all of our favorite players were dirtbags. There was no Twitter. There was no TMZ. I had no idea that blank was a scumbag that cheated on his wife or beat his girlfriend or took cocaine. I had no idea. Like when Doc Gooden and Daryl Strump, when that thing came out, I remember being a kid and going, it shook me to my core. I wasn't a Mets fan, but it shook me to my core.
It was such a giant scandal.
Oh, my God. Now it's like, if a guy gets popped for doing blow, you're like, "Oh, all right, well, at least he didn't do something worse." And it's just crazy.
That's a good point. 833-288-0973. Let's continue. Eric is in Scripps Ranch. Eric, you're on Ben and Woods. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I am chiming in ditto that I'm very concerned, but as Stephen Wood said, I love baseball.
Love it.
So I'm not going to run away from it, but I am very supportive of the fan bases who are especially extra angry over this, because I just tweeted out to you guys that I know how that feels. That 2011 men's basketball, UConn, I will always have hate and resentment towards Kemba, Calhoun, for what they did, and they're ineligible players. So
I don't remember that. What happened? They had somebody that wasn't eligible, and they won the title.
Well, they had a team of players that were ineligible that was discovered like 7 months later, and they had to vacate the title. But it was such a whimper that nobody really cared.
Yeah, it's on the fifth page of the news. It's the retraction in the newspaper. It's you know, nobody really
cares. You can never unring the bell of the championship that was won. And the Astros aren't having to give up their title. The Red Sox aren't going to have to give up their title. ultimately, one of the complaints I hear about is that the person who got off pretty easily in this whole scandal, Woods, is Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros. Yeah, he had to sit up there and fire his manager and his GM and look bad in the public eye for a day or two. But the fine was $5 million is nothing to him.
It's nothing.
He keeps his championship. He keeps his team. He keeps all the benefits from it. And now he gets to start it all over. I mean, are people going to stop going to Astros games?
No, they're not, because they have superstars there. And I'll tell you what, though, Benny. There's no amount of money I wouldn't pay to get the group text thread of Bregman, Correa, Verlander, all those guys. What's that group text thread look like? Is it just a series of OF? Oh, F word, we are screwed. Their entire careers. I'm sorry. I mean, look, their entire careers, this is what they are branded as. Alex Bregman, who is a brilliant, brilliant baseball player. He's a G. By every letter, by every measure of the term G, he's it. But for the rest of his career now, that's what he is. He's the trash can banger.
And maybe more so than the punishments that are handed out, that'll be the deterrent, you know, for other guys that... Do I want to risk having my reputation always be associated with something like this? And I think there are guys, hopefully, that will say, if they see it going on in their clubhouse, they will say, guys, I don't want to be painted with this brush. Do you really want this? If this comes out, and it will come out, players will switch teams. Players talk. It's where, you know, I mean, it will get out if you're doing this. You will be painted with that brush as well.
Yeah.
You can't really escape the label of cheater once it's been slipped on you.
No, you can't, man. It's, you know, all the steroid guys had to wear it, you know, their entire careers. And look, their punishments, again, were, you know, A-Rod sat an entire year, a whole season, which, again, that he's hurting himself. He's hurting his own body. I mean, this is different. It hurts the game. It changes the outcome of the game.
Alejandro and PB has got a little different take here. 833-288-0973. Good morning, Alejandro.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, I think that people are just trying to bury baseball, and they've been burying it for decades now. The Patriots get caught filming, and their dynasty is not ever put into question. Right?
Rarely.
The guy called about UConn, and if you're not cheating, you're not trying. The Astros just happened to get caught. And I guarantee you they were trying to whistleblow a bunch of other teams out. MLB even came out and said, we don't care about that. You're just going to be the scapegoats. So I think that people are just blowing this out of proportion. This is going to be another thing. Yeah, I mean, the Astros are going to be known for that. But I think, honestly, we all know that you're not trying to bend the rules a little bit. You're not trying in sports. And the greatest teams right now have all been in some way questioned into their way they do things, including the Patriots, including the Astros. If the Astros were the Marlins and this happens, no one would care. The Astros just won.
Well,
they did
it
better than everybody else.
Because it worked. He's not wrong. It's because it worked. Benny, I used to get on my high horse, right? So when the steroid thing started happening in baseball, my thing was I had a buddy in high school and right after high school, and he took steroids. And he would tell me, dude, all your boys that you love so much, the great game that you love and talk about, they're all on juice. And I would rage. And we would get in these knockdown, drag-out fights. Well, turns out I was living in basically the epicenter of steroids. The Texas Rangers, Juan Gonzalez, all those guys, Rafael Palmeiro. Jose Canseco, it kind of started in the bathrooms of Arlington Stadium. And that's where it really was. And I would have these fights about him. Well, then when it came to be true, I then turned my attention to football. Because every year there was somebody getting popped for steroids. There were no congressional hearings about steroids in football. I would get so mad because I wanted to protect the game. And I feel, even though I hate both of these teams, I still feel very protective of the game. Right? Like, I hate both these teams. Couldn't be happier about what's happened to both of these clowns. I can't stand either of those managers, but it sucks at what it's done to the game. There is a different standard. Spygate is essentially this, right?
Spying on another team?
Yes.
To gain an advantage.
But no one cares.
Technological means.
Do I even think the Patriots are, quote, do I take anything away from Belichick and Brady's greatness? I really don't. I really, really don't. there's a different standard in baseball than there are in other sports. Honestly, how do you? You're telling me that steroids infected Major League Baseball, but it didn't infect the NFL? It didn't affect the NBA? Of course it did, man. Of course it did. That was always my point of like, and I was the guy going, well, yeah, we may do it, but you do it too. Which, you can't be that way.
Good contributions from our listeners.
Really
well
done,
everybody.
Yeah.
All right, it is true. We did not have our biggest fan call in, which means we are opening it back up out there. Dial up right now, 833-288-0973. Sixth caller today is going to win the SeaWorld passes and will be entered into our grand prize drawing for the Las Vegas Aerosmith getaway. Dial now, 833-288-0973.
I was just going to say, I'm really excited to talk about what we're going to talk about next, Ben. The Caesars Palace recommendations for over-under Padre wins.
That's good. I also got one of my favorite invitations of the year yesterday. I wasn't sure if it was going to come.
Key party?
But I got it. And I'm looking forward to it now. Tell you what it is next with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station.
Not a key party.
97.3.
All right.
The Femi.
Yeah.
I got a little correction on some information from our last segment because something didn't seem right to me. But for some reason, I couldn't look at my computer. But our friend Craig Elston texted me and said, UConn, and I didn't think they did, UConn didn't have to vacate their NCAA championship. That year they beat the Aztecs and Kawhi Leonard in the Sweet 16. They were sanctioned later. In 2013, they were suspended for academic violations, but they never had to give back their championship in 2011. And Woods, it goes to show you really what the point that we're making is that it's a lot of people don't remember. Once the championship is done, you can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
People will remember and they will not, they'll forget who was punished when. They'll remember the game. They'll remember watching it. The punishments fade, though, over time.
It is so funny, too. We could do a four-hour show on every sport and what is considered gamesmanship and what is considered cheating. Right? I mean, Hammer, you played linebacker in college. When you were in a pile, did you ever take your finger and shove it up some guy's nose or in his eyes?
I did the eyes,
kick him in the nuts. Yeah,
yeah,
like, all right, you can't do that. You can't do that. If they see you doing it, you're going to get a penalty. So I guess by the letter of the law.
See, I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't want someone else to do it to me.
But you know they're going to.
Wear a visor. That's what I did. Wear a visor, and if you weren't wearing a visor, I'm poking your eyes out.
You know, have I taken an Adderall before a baseball game?
Yep.
Yeah. Every one of them. Guess what? I'm prescribed Adderall. I'm also not a big leaguer. Does it help me perform better? Yeah, really does. Really, really does. Couldn't really, don't really want to play without one. But am I a cheater? Am I a cheater?
Some would say yes.
I'm taking I have a prescription from a physician. So am I cheating?
But did he tell you take it right before a baseball game?
No, he told me to take it when my ADD is bad.
Is your ADD bad before every single baseball
game? That's
bending
the rules,
not
breaking
the rules. So that's not even, I don't even think that's bending the rules. That, like, in that, for that instance alone, it's like, I'm prescribed.
Might have to strip the A's of their San Diego Adult Baseball League title.
There's no chance.
I disagreed with Ben earlier just a couple minutes ago when he said, people don't care after the championship is settled. I think if MLB were to have stripped the Astros from their title in 2017, you obviously, you know, you got Dodger fans saying, well, we should be the winners. They can't do that. You can't prove that they would have otherwise won. But you can strip their title. You can put it in the record books that nobody won the World Series in 2017.
It's, correct.
You know what I mean? Who won the World Series? Was it 94, 95?
It was 95 whatever? When they went on strike and there was no World
Series
winner.
No World Series champion.
It's 94.
The 94.
That's okay, sorry.
The NCAA does it all the time. Like, Reggie Bush did not cheat on the field. He broke rules off the field and they got their title stripped.
But I still think of USC as the champion that year. When I think back, who was the best team?
It's just there's such a...
Well, actually, they didn't win the title. Texas beat them, didn't they, in that last game?
There's such a distinction between gamesmanship and cheating. There really is. And I'm fully on board for gamesmanship. I've always been okay with stealing signs. I'm not okay with technology and banging trash cans. It's weird.
One more thought here. If the Astros had lost the World Series, the Dodgers had won one more game, is this such a big deal?
No, it's not.
Are people as outraged as they are now? If, well, eh, the right team won in the end anyway. Dodgers got it done. So really, this is the Dodgers' fault that this is such a big deal because they couldn't win one more game.
Yeah, because the Nationals, look, we all saw Strasburg make adjustments to the way he was holding his mitt. Like, again, when the Astros are involved, there are these whispers, period. And it's just been that way. And we all saw them make adjustments. We saw in the first game of the World Series, no one on base, and the Astros catcher, or the Nationals catcher giving 30 signs with no one on base, which never happens. They knew what they were doing, and they adjusted, and look what happened. They won. They won.
One crazy stat, because I just noticed it yesterday, so I tweeted about it. You figure you win the World Series as a manager. You have pretty good job security with your team, right? I mean, you'll be there for as long as you want. You won a World Series. There is only one manager in all of baseball who won a World Series and is still with the same team that he managed. That's Davey Martinez from last year's World Series. Every other World Series winning manager is gone from the team that they managed to the World Series title now.
Yep.
In baseball. That's pretty crazy with Alex Cora and AJ Hinch going out in the last couple of days.
Yeah. It's a bananas situation. And you know, now these teams are scrambling to find a manager. You know, one team, the Astros, needing to find a manager and a GM. But it does bring up the interesting point of, you know, what is too far. And it is, hey, listen, we get very high and mighty about some things and not some others.
We are rolling all the way to the top of the hour. Going to get to that over. We had a poll out yesterday about the Padres over-under win total from Caesars Palace. Get to that next. First, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danny. And all guests on Ben and Woods appear on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. So we're getting closer to the season. Rosters are getting more finalized. Had one of the other big free agents went off the board yesterday. Bit of a surprise, Josh Donaldson going to the Minnesota Twins, 4-year, $92 million deal. Twins trying to maintain their status as a playoff team in 2020. And as you get closer, you start seeing more of the online books and the Las Vegas books establish their over-under win totals for the season.
Yep.
And Caesars Palace had theirs out yesterday, so immediately, of course, we go to see how many do they think the Padres are going to win. What's the number? What's the over-under? And what do we think? They set it, I believe, at 83. Was that the number?
Was it 83 or 84?
83, straight on the number, right?
83.
So, yeah, we put out a poll in our Ben and Woods Twitter account, basically asking our listeners, Padres fans out there, well, if the number was 83 and you had to put a few bucks on it, you go over, you go under, or do you think they'll hit it right on the number at 83? Paul, give us the results of yesterday's poll.
Yeah, 55% of the voters say over 83, 28% say under, and 17% said 83 on the nose.
All right, so it's pretty split between over 83 and 83 and under, with a slight lean toward the over 83. I would expect that from Padres fans. We're an optimistic bunch. And last year we all went over as well. What was 76, I think? 78 once they signed Manny. Didn't come close.
No. What were they,
well,
what they win?
70.
70.
70 last year.
So we're looking for a 14 game improvement
to get the over 83 at this
really
point.
Really bad at math, as you know. All right. What do you think?
14 game improvement is a lot. There's no doubt about it. But there is always a team or two in baseball that makes a leap every year. At some point, the Padres are going to make a leap. They have too much talent. It's not just optimistic Padres fans. It's not just AJ Preller telling us that, well, we think these guys are going to be good. Independent observers who study these things for a living, who rank minor league farm systems, they all say, if you have a system that good, and you have that much talent coming up, they all eventually get to the playoffs. Padres should be following that pattern. One of these seasons, they're going to make that leap, like the Twins did yet last year, like the Braves did. It's coming. Is it coming this season is the question. I tend to think that they will make a big leap this year, up into the mid to high 80s in win total. So, yeah, I think over is the correct play this year for the Padres, despite what looks like that massive number of improvement needed to actually get there?
They're so good at this in Las Vegas. They're so good at it, really. I'd love to go back and look at what they had last year as opposed to what teams actually did. I'm going to take the ride on. I'm going to say exactly 84 wins. I'm going to say that's exactly what they're going to do. I don't want to be on the fence. I can talk myself into either way. I can talk myself into over, and I can talk myself into under. I don't know when Mackenzie Gore is going to come up and contribute. I don't know how Garrett Richards' health is going to hold up. I don't know what Chris Paddock's going to look like, you know, opening day or the next day. I do know that the improvements that they have made have been pretty good. They've been pretty good. I do know they have a new manager, first time managing in the big leagues. I feel like that's right around what I kind of thought it would be. I would say the number, you know what, I would have put it at 83.5. That's what I would have put that number at. So I'm going to say right on the nose.
So looking at the rest of the NL West, Dodgers, of course, far and away first. They're at 99. 99 wins over or under.
May take the over on them.
83 puts the Padres tied for second with the Diamondbacks, who are also at 83. And then you've got the Rockies, who are at 74. I like the over on the Rockies on that one.
Okay.
And the Giants
at
71.
Well, if they trade Arenado, I'm taking the under.
That's true. And they're still talking about that with the St. Louis Cardinals. Giants at 71. The highest number on the board from Caesars?
The Yanks, 101,
Yankees,
right?
101. It's 100 win seasons used to be pretty darn rare.
They're the only one they're the only one listed at over 100 wins.
They are, yeah. But I mean, you have to have a remarkable season to win 100 games.
Yeah,
they're putting the number there that you have to have that remarkable of a season just to get the over on the over under.
I mean, you got a ton of
but
dudes.
They're becoming more common lately. 100 win seasons. You have more teams that are kind of more in the tank that are, you know, going for the draft pick. That has the opposite effect at the top of the standings. When you have more teams, you know, not really trying that hard to win, it makes it easier for the teams who are trying to win to rack up those victories and get higher win totals at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. I mean, when you look at the Yankees, they won how many games with a banged up, battered roster?
And six or something?
Without Garrett Cole. I'm like, yeah, that 101.5 is a lot to bet on, but I'm like, should be more. I mean, it really should be.
At the other end of the spectrum, you get the Orioles and the Tigers both at 55.5.
And you think, how the F is that possible? But they have nothing. I mean, the Tigers, actually, I may take the over on that. I may take the over on 55.5 for the Tigers.
It's a lot of losses.
It's a lot of losses, man. Really, really a ton of losses. But where do you stand on the Padres number?
I said over.
You think over? Okay.
I think over. I think 83 is not a, I mean, they always put the number really, really close. Saying right on is not that crazy, like you said.
Yeah.
I have confidence that the leap is coming at some point. I think this is the year that it's most likely to happen. Now, maybe they do. Maybe they go up to 78, and then they go up to 84, and then they go up to 88. And it just doesn't usually work like that. It's not just that standard progression up. Usually there's a big leap. Maybe the next year you take a small step back, then you take another kind of leap forward. It's not as geometric as you would think it's usually would. There's ups and downs, there's luck, there's prospects that arrive early. Anything can happen, and this, I think the Padres are kind of positioned for a leap year.
You'd like to think at least one time that things would kind of break our way. You know, you really do. You want to think that, hey, okay, yeah, our young pitchers are going to shine. Our young players are going to shine. Will Myers is going to figure it out. Austin Hedges, if he's still here, whatever. I mean, Eric Hosmer makes some changes. I don't know. At some point, it does have to break in your favor, right? At some point,
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the Padres have had a season where things broke in their favor in a very long time. 2010, absolutely. They didn't have a particularly dynamic roster going in, and things broke their way. They ended up winning 90 games. Since then, every season has kind of been, yeah, the expectations weren't that high, and then you didn't exceed them either.
Yep.
And at some point, something's got to go right for the Padres.
The Hammer, what's your take on the Padres and their over-under?
Well, watching last year, and as a Padre fan, there were so many times where you sit there and you're like, if one thing bounces our way, we win the game.
Yeah.
I said that at least 15 times. So if I think that we can improve 15 wins at, you know, whatever, 83 wins
to
13,
over.
I'm taking the over.
Easy. Hammer with the over, the optimistic over.
They weren't a bad team at all in the first half of the
season
last year. And then, you know, you had pitching restrictions. You had injuries. You had Fernando Tatis Jr. going down. You know, and if he goes down again, yeah, it's trouble.
Oh,
but
God, if he goes down
again, at
least, I can't handle that.
I got to at least have at least one season where I think he can have a full year. I mean, almost everyone gets a full year at some point, right?
You would think at some point, yes. You know, and I know he's brand new in the league, but he is such a the catalyst, man. He really is.
I love him with all my heart.
I do, too. He is just the greatest thing ever, and, you know, protect that kid at all costs. I see him. I see him on his Instagram driving around on jet skis, and I'm like a concerned father. I'm like, what are you doing?
Slow down.
I am legit. I don't want anything to happen to him. He's so valuable to this city, to this team, to the success of this team.
Put him in bubble wrap and break him out when the season starts.
Friar Gal says, I love that Ben predicted a Padres leap in 2020, a leap year. I must have missed your little joke.
You did miss that.
I need to be more dialed
I
in.
I want to, in the last minute here, I just want to take a second to thank the folks at the Farmers Insurance Open for inviting me back this year. I got the call yesterday.
Let's plug all the-
to... I know I don't get paid or anything. I'm a volunteer.
Get free tickets.
No, I'm just a volunteer. I mean, I will get to do once again announce the award ceremony on the 18th green on Sunday afternoon hand the trophy to the champion. Last year it was Justin Rose. This year, who could it be? Tiger Woods?
Patrick Reed. I hope it's Patrick Reed. Oh my
come
God.
Come on, Patty boy.
I have never rooted harder for Patrick Reed in my life.
I'm not even positive that he's in the field. Although most of the big names are playing because. The U.S. Open is coming to Torrey next year, so they'll want to get an early look at the course. Oh, that would be that wouldn't be fun for me.
Oh, it'd be amazing for the show, though. Amazing for the show.
Just want to congratulate Patrick Reed on his Farmers Insurance Open.
Guys, we've hit the end of the show. I want to thank you all before we give out our Grand Slam keyword of the day. Hammer, good job as always.
Thank you, sir.
Paul, well done on a Wednesday. Got through the middle of the week, Woodsy. We don't call it hump day, but we're now on the back end of
the back nine.
Whatever we don't call it, we will be back tomorrow at 5 a.m., getting closer to the AFC and NFC championships on Sunday. All right, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is underdog. Text underdog to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. From 97.3 The Fan, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Rome Show is up next. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.